Well, good evening and welcome to week six of Stop and Live with Jane Vandress, Massage Therapy Radio's weekly radio program. My name is Scott Dartnell and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us again. For those who are on our broadcast page listening over live streaming audio, you can contribute your questions and comments in the Q&A box on the bottom left. For those listening over the phone, please feel free to email questions for Jane at your convenience. You can email them to me at scott@massagetherapyradio.com. At this time, I'd like to introduce my friend, colleague, and as I like to say, my spiritual advisor, Jane Vandress. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Scott. How are you this evening?
I'm great. As I always tell you, Jane, I look forward to this time every week. I get as much out of this as everybody that's listening, and always enjoy the time that we spend together.
Well, I enjoy this time myself as well, and everybody sends in such interesting questions.
The questions are, we have a wonderful audience. I don't want to say the questions are getting better because the first ones weren't great, but the questions are getting better and better every week. Did you want me to start with tonight's affirmation?
Yep, that would be great. I'm anxious to get started.
Wonderful. Your children will see what you're all about by what you live rather than what you say, Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's a great great affirmation.
Yeah, Dr. Wayne Dyer is one of the inspirational, motivational speakers that I began with a long, long time ago and actually had the privilege and the honor to meet him in person. And he's an amazing guy. And that's one of the reasons why I chose the affirmation by him. And I actually was checking over the internet the last couple of days and I came across a little story to do with Dr. Wayne Dyer, which I believe probably, well, it has a lot to do with that affirmation that we're doing this evening about leading by example. Excuse me. Wayne Dyer was, I'm not sure which child, but he was having a problem with one of his children. And the family was focusing on sharing with this child all their hurt and anger that they were experiencing for whatever it is this child had done. And that they realized it didn't change the situation. And then Dr. Wayne Dyer began to realize that he wasn't following his own wisdom. And he was not living his wisdom. So he decided that he realized that he was focusing on what his child was doing wrong rather than giving the attention and focusing on the wonderful things that he loved about what his child was all about. So once he realized that, he started focusing on all the good things, and which makes me remember of that line of glasses, is either half full or half empty, and that's depending on how you focus, how you look at it. So he started focusing on all the wonderful things that his child represented, and soon after the situation had changed. And it just makes me realize how truly powerful it is to lead by example, in that action speaks louder than words. And when I think about leading by example, I think of somebody else comes to mind, and that would be Mother Teresa. And I just feel really, really fond of all the work that she did over the many years that she lived here. And the big thing for her was she showed so much compassion. And my husband and I came across a beautiful poem many years ago that we really thought was inspirational. And I thought that I would like to share that with the listeners this evening. It's called Do It Anyway. And this poem was actually written by Mother Teresa, and it's engraved on the wall of the home for the children in Calcutta. And as I said, it's called Do It Anyway. And the poem actually begins with saying that people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, You will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got, anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It never was between you and them, anyway. I just find that so inspirational.
That's a wonderful poem.
I believe, Scott, that you have some stories or yourself of Mother Teresa that are fond for you.
Well, you know, this looking back, that you know, to think that for over 40 years that this woman, she ministered to the poorest, most unwanted people in the world, and she, you know, she took care of the poor and the sick and orphaned and dying, and the whole time, you know, working on expanding what her mission was doing, and expanding the size of her charity's missions, and you know, starting in India and then expanding throughout the world. I think there's over 100 now around the world that do work in the poorest areas. And it was interesting that you brought that story up to me earlier this week about her. I had the pleasure of treating a client a few years back, and she was from India, and now, of course, living in Canada. And she volunteered at the mission in Calcutta. And she told me an interesting story that I was not aware of, that they would go out different times during the day, but you know, go out, you know, it's besides being a very poor area, it's a very dangerous area also. And they would find people that were you know, on the brink of dying. They were in the process of dying. And they would bring them back to the mission and bathe them and, you know, clothe them and make sure that their last hours as a, you know, on this earth were full of comfort and full of love. And that story struck me, you know, besides what they had done with the orphans and that, but to do this, to go out and to do what they could to contribute to people's last living moments, and to make them comfortable and let them know that they had that there were people that cared and did love them, to me, touches me so deep.
Well, she is an excellent spiritual leader and example for our affirmation tonight, because she definitely went out there and actually walked her talk, literally.
Exactly.
Well, she taught us compassion, that's for sure.
Well, and she did. And I remember I was saying to you, there was a another story, and I was trying to remember who it was, and I think it was actually Father Martin from my parish here in Stony Creek, and was telling me that she was actually such a modest person, she was actually very shrewd and very connected, and was not ever afraid to pick up the phone and make contact with someone that she knew that could help her help other people. And it didn't matter who that was, whether it was a famous celebrity or the president of the United States. She had that reach that that people would take her call and jump to action for her. And I think that's just, you know, speaks volumes about the respect that she had garnered through her life.
Amazing. Yeah, it's people like that make us think to ourselves, what kind of example are we setting, and help to keep that within our minds and our heart for ourselves.
Exactly. We have so many questions tonight. We're going to have to I'm going to try and cut down the list a little bit. We do have quite a few questions tonight, but as we said, and I've repeated many, many times to everyone, we use every question that is provided to us. So please continue to send your questions and comments. And funny enough, tonight I'm going to, besides reading some questions, I'm going to be reading a comment from one of our listeners and a question from them that it just shows how deep the thought, how much thoughtfulness has gone into some of the questions, how they've been shaped. Our first question, are we ready to get into questions, Jane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great. I'm ready.
Our first question tonight comes from Amanda, and she would like to know what information you know about indigo children. Now, this is a new topic for me. I'm not familiar with this term, so I'm very interested in hearing your answer on this one, Jane.
Thank you, Amanda. It can be, again, like a lot of questions people submit, it can be very expansive, but I'll do my best to cover around a pretty wide circumference so that she and everyone else can walk away understanding a little better about the indigo children. That phrase has been around for a long, long time, and it's a lot of people believe that these children are what we call psychic children, and they have abilities of telepathy and increased empathy, and they're very creative, and they have amazing healing abilities. Now, some of these children arrived in great, great big numbers in around the 1970s, and people say that they represent a higher state of human evolution. Now, some of the children that come down who are considered indigo children, some are often labeled with psychiatric disorders as well, and some of them fall in the category. And it doesn't mean that because somebody is diagnosed with attention deficit disorder or one of these psychiatric disorders that they're indigos, but we do find that a lot of these disorders do represent this breed of children that have been coming into the world. So that would be attention deficit disorder, some are autistic, hyperactivity, obsessive compulsive disorders. They can be prone to depression, sleep disorders, insomnia, or persistent nightmares. They have, as I said, like many different amazing gifts. They have amazing powers of perception. They're very loving, they're creative. And they need to be guided. They need to be taught to channel their special energies into the arts, into the science, into sports, healing arts, alternative technologies. And by them doing this, then they're able to assess their authentic selves, and then they become to realize their gifts, and then they can realize a life of harmony and joy. Because it is said that they will be our leaders of tomorrow. Now, I would like to share some attributes to share with parents and with teachers so that maybe they might be able to recognize these qualities in the children and perhaps see for themselves if they could be indigo children. Now, they come into the world with a feeling of royalty, so sometimes they can often act like it, so sometimes with little temper tantrums and that sort of thing. They have a feeling of deserving to be here and are surprised when others don't seem to share that or don't seem to get that. Their self-worth is not a big issue. They often are the ones that tell the parents who they are, and help also to show the parents their gifts as well. They have difficulty with authority. Authority without explanation and choice. So if they're really big on being able to be free thinkers and free to be able to make their own choices and their own actions, they simply will not do certain things. For example, it's been said that sometimes waiting in line, they find it very difficult. They become impatient. They get frustrated with systems that are ritually or that don't require creative thought. They often see better ways of doing things, both at home and in school, which sometimes can make them seem like they're system busters. They sometimes can seem a little antisocial, unless they're with their own kind. They may turn inward if they're not with others that are of like consciousness to them. School can often be extremely difficult for them socially. They will not respond to the guilt discipline. So if you tell them, you know, wait until your father gets home, they don't necessarily that doesn't necessarily work for them. They're not shy, and they're not shy in letting you know what they need. So these are just a few little things that as I said, teachers and parents can look for and start to see if their children are possible indigo children. Now, keep in mind, too, that they're no better than any of us. It's not comparing and that sort of thing, because we are all in some way becoming more like indigo children, and that's just where we are in evolution as human species. The indigos have been incarnating to Earth for quite a long time, actually, over the last 100 years. So when you go back as far as, like, pioneers, and after the World War II, there was a significant number of indigos being born in. So they would be our indigo adults of today rather than the children. And as I said before, in the 1970s, there was a major wave of indigos that came into the generation as well, which would, would now be in about, well, I guess they'll be their late 20s or 30s. But after the year 2000, there was another breed of children that are set to come into the earth, and they're called crystal children. Now, the crystal children, their intention is to take us to the next level in evolution. It's like the indigos came through and kind of were weed whackers, and they kind of cleared the path and the way for the crystal children to come in. So the indigos were more like the activists and kind of, you know, butting heads with the system and authority so that the crystal children could then come in and take over and function as a group consciousness rather than individual consciousness. And they definitely work with the law of the one, with the law of the unity consciousness, love, peace here on the planet. And some of the signs that can represent for crystal children, some are similar to the indigo. The crystal children seem to be a little bit more gentle, a little bit more telepathic. And then also the crystal children come in, some of them come in with speech problems. So they tend to be more autistic, but also with the speech problems because they naturally communicate with their minds and through songs. You'll find, too, that crystal children like to sing a lot. They have a real big fondness of fairies and dolphins. They look for deep, loving, lasting relationships, so everybody is their bestest friend. They love nature. They bond with animals. And like I said, these are similar to indigos as well. But the crystal children apparently have extremely big, clear, and wise eyes. They're very energetic, very active, and they also love crystals. They like Reiki energy. They love meditation and yoga. They enjoy the music, the arts. They like writing, and they're truly into understanding their spiritual path and into spirituality. They're highly intelligent and full of questions. They're always asking questions all the time. They're very right brain oriented, so they're using their imagination and their intuition. They're very super sensitive to the environment, and they're also sensitive to food and food allergies. Now, for parents, what you can do to help these children along is, because you are here, you've assigned to be here for them to help them and to be their teachers. So it would be recommended to be honest with them. They need to be spoken to honestly, because if they're lied to, that can definitely affect their central nervous system. They're very, very honest children. Also, you need to provide creative and creative outlets for them, and also increase them to be interested in exercise because their energy is so high and sensitive. They really need to find an outlet for that. And also their food, clean up their diet, just bring in a little bit more organic because, as I said earlier, they tend to, have food allergies. And I know for myself, my nieces and nephews, they seem to love raw vegetables. And I remember my day, and you probably know yourself, Scott, that we weren't really big on vegetables, but it seems a lot of the children now, that's all they seem to ask for is they're always wanting vegetables. So as I mentioned before, teachers, parents, all of us are here. We're trying to, you know, inspire them, to lead them and teach them so that they can be true to themselves because they truly are here to heal the planet. And anything that we can do to help them on this journey and make it easier for them is beneficial to us all. So I hope that answers your question, Amanda. There's a lot more information, and if anybody wants to go on the Angel Therapy website with Doreen Virtue, she has a lot of information on there. There's also a website called the Indigo Children if you wanted to access that as well, and you can find out a lot more information. Again, thank you, Amanda, for your question.
Well, that's wonderful, Jane. Thank you. I didn't get to, we also had another question from Jen on Indigo Children, and I think you pretty much answered it, but I wanted to read it to you anyway, just to say thank you for Jen for contributing it, and said, I've heard some talk about Indigo Children. Could you please give me more information about them? I have a daughter 2 years old, and I wonder if she may be an Indigo Child. Now, you just gave her some resources, but you might just want to repeat those one more time.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you, Jen, for submitting that question. And as I've addressed some things that you can look at, I'm sure you'll probably have a better understanding now as to whether your daughter is one or not, which more likely she probably is. Thank you.
Actually, next we're going to start with a comment that's going to lead into a question. And my friend Marianne, who's actually contributed a question before, sent us a comment, and it says, Hi, Scott and Jane. Thank you for your insight into last week's intuition question. It was very helpful, and I was able to apply your technique and found clarity. This evening's topic is very close. This is the evening, our affirmation was from Matthew, I believe. And she's saying, this evening's topic is very close to me on a couple of levels. As a believer in prayer, this affirmation is a foundation of prayer. As a person who believes in the concept of the secret, both prayer and the secret, which in many ways follow the same path, has pulled me through some very difficult times over the last 6 months. I truly believe if you ask, feel and believe, it will happen. And excuse me for 1 second here. I didn't cut that question off. I apologize. Oh, excuse me. From time, just to continue with that, I apologize to everyone. She goes on to say, from time to time, I struggle with keeping negative thoughts out of my mind, such as anger. Any quick tips on how to refocus the positive? Thank you. From Marianne.
Well, thank you, Marianne. Excuse me for those kind words. And for your question, well, first of all, remember, whatever we focus on expands. And our brain can only focus on about 7 or 9 things at one time, and our attention only lasts for about 5 to 6 seconds on any one thing at one time. And the rest of the stuff becomes generalized within our mind and thrown in as background. Our brain interprets whatever we focus our attention on, and it becomes certain things that come within our mind. It kind of sets off an alert attention, and then all of a sudden that's what zooms in because the brain goes, oh, okay, this must be really important, so we're going to focus on this. So that's why, for law of attraction, why you can bring in what you don't want as well as what you do want. So for a couple of little things that you can do, you mentioned, Marianne, that you were a believer in prayer. So something that you can do, too, is kind of like a visual prayer. And what this visual prayer does is that what you'll be doing is you'll be blessing your thoughts with love and peace. So you can imagine blasting those energy thoughts with a loving, either pink colored light or blue, or even a colored, like a multicolored light, like a rainbow. And what you can do is just intuitively feel the high energy of love and allow that to come in to your thoughts and your feelings, into your thoughts and your heart, and change the vibration. You can also rejuvenate yourself by exercising, because whatever you focus on, you change your scenery, you're focusing on something else, then you're taking it away from where your present thoughts are. So exercise is really good in helping to enhance the mood within our minds, and that can bring us into a more positive way of thinking and feeling. You can also meditate, meditating in silence, focusing on your breath. That's really, really important, and I'm a firm believer in that. That's what I teach in the day-to-day life of my own life, as well as helping others. The key there is when you're focusing on your breathing, if everybody just wants to even try this together, when you breathe in and taking a nice deep breath in, and just hold that breath for a count of three, one, two, three, and exhale. Now what you're actually doing is that gap in between the breathing out and breathing in, you're actually not thinking. If you actually remember now, when you're focusing on your breath and you're breathing in and you're pausing for that 3 seconds, your mind is quiet. You're not thinking. So you're being in the present moment. And if you're in the present moment, you're not worrying. So the more that you can practice being in that present moment, being here and now, and the more time that you can spend there, your heart, you'll have more access to your heart, which connects to your higher self. And in that way, it works very well to blast those lower energy thoughts and feelings. Connecting to nature, very good too, because when you're in nature, it's considered like a healing magic. Another thing you can do is you can ask yourself questions. You can ask about why do you feel and think the way that you do. And then after you've asked those questions, just trust what you feel. Trust your intuition. Trust what's in your heart. And you will be guided to a more positive way of thinking and feeling. You can also surround yourself with people who understand more of this alternative way of thinking and feeling, a higher vibration, where they actually live with love in their hearts and they understand that better. You may find that with meditation groups, church functions, family or friends, healing circles, or even taking spiritual classes. Another thing that I found very useful for even in my own life is positive affirmations. And one that I do for myself is I have an affirmation that I post everywhere. I mean, everywhere I go within my house, it's there. I carry it with me in my purse. I've always got it within my mind, always in front of me, so it reminds me to think positive thoughts. And that affirmation is, thought attracts that upon which it is directed. And that's from the author Claude Bristol. And I just find that it immediately, when I read that, it adjusts my thoughts and it makes me bring myself into a more higher frequency. I automatically feel myself and say, okay, you know what, why am I feeling kind of low energy here? Okay, well, you know what, it must be thinking lower frequency thoughts or feeling lower frequency feelings. I'm going to switch that around. And what I do even after that with a positive affirmation, I actually start to just begin to smile a little bit and put a little smile on my face. That does wonders, I tell you. Automatically, when you put a smile on your face, you instantly move away from your despair or your sadness or whatever it is that you're going on, that lower frequency energy. Or place yourself in front of or surround yourself with funny people or comedy shows on TV. That always does the trick and can move you right out of that zone very quickly. Thank you, Marianne, and I hope this answers your question.
It's funny how you said that. If you put a smile on your face, a friend of ours, Lorna, when I was doing some broadcasts for the American Massage Therapy Association last year, she would speak to me the next day, call me and say, like, yeah, Scott, I want you to, when you're speaking, I want you to speak with a smile on your face because I know what you sound like. And I think that sometimes when you're doing the broadcast, you're getting too serious. So you have to, you know, speak with a smile on your face. And at first I thought, well, that's a little critical of her to say that. And then I sat back for a minute and I realized, you know, that was probably one of the best pieces of advice that I've gotten in the entire time that I've been doing working with Massage Therapy Radio. So I actually really appreciated it and have tried to implement it from that time. Our next question comes from Omar, and his question is everything in the universe really based on ask and it is given? He goes on to say, what about destiny? The reason I ask this is because I know a person who is really negative about life in general. To add to this, he has money, marriage, kids, close family and friends. He doesn't realize how truly blessed he really is.
Well, thank you, Omar, for that question. It's a good question. They're all good questions. Trying to summarize what the intention behind that question or what the answer he's really seeking for, it feels like he's wanting to know the difference between free will and destiny. So I'd have to say, well, both of them are real and they both exist together. Your free will is your ability to choose and act on your choices, whereas your destiny is the blueprint that determines the course of your life. So you may wonder how you can have free will if your choices are already made for you through destiny, but destiny, it only decides what lessons to learn and why, but not how you will learn them and when. So, I mean, that's totally up to you. So, and that depends on your attitude and how your perception is as to how you perceive, how you're going to learn those lessons and what those lessons are. It's hard for us to know what each person is working with and what their destiny and free will be applied and how they'll do that in the course of their life. So it's kind of hard for us to know really what a soul has come down here to experience. So we don't know enough and have enough information about the soul in order to, I don't want to use the word judge, but just to, you know, to, well, it is kind of to judge another and to know what they're experiencing and what it is that they want to learn. So I hope that answers your question, Omar, and gives you a better understanding of the difference between how we have our choices, but we're also, destiny does play a small part in it as well. Thank you.
We're just continually getting so many great questions every week, and thank you to everyone that contributed, Amanda and Jen and Omar and Marianne, and to everyone else that has contributed that we haven't got to your question yet. And as I said, we will definitely get to your question. Is there anything else that you wanted to add, Jane?
If we have a couple of minutes to spare, we could do a little exercise. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it's rather fun to do. It's another intuition game. Are you up for it?
Always.
Okay. So for Scott and for our listeners to join in as well, it's a game of intuition. And what we're going to do is we're just going to sit quietly and just focus on our breath and just breathe in and out. And what we're trying to do is just allow ourselves to calm the mind, relax the body, and enhancing us to be here and now, just enjoying where we are, right here, this moment. We're not focusing on the past. We're not focusing on the future. Everything that happens here and now, we're allowed to tap into the subconscious where the intuition lies. So again, just focusing on your breath, being happy, being content where you are, and just close your eyes. And then just focus with your eyes closed. Just focus to the area just between your two eyes, which we call the third eye or the mind's eye location, the seat of our imagination, our subconscious. And just place your attention there nice and gently, as though a butterfly was flying by in front of you. And I just want you to open your mind and open your heart. Now, I have a symbol that I have in front of me. Now, it's going to be the choice of three. So this symbol will either be a triangle, a circle, or a square. Now, I have this in front of me right now, one symbol. I'm focusing on that symbol. And I want you and the listener, Scott, just to be open within your mind, within your heart. Just be open for the symbol to flash before you, just like the symbol will appear on the screen before you with your eyes closed. Most times it's accurate to take the first impression that you receive. So now I'm going to ask you to bring your attention back now to yourself sitting in your chair and open your eyes. And Scott, I'm going to ask you if you got a symbol and what symbol of the three that you received, and then I'll share with you in the audience what symbol I was focusing on.
Well,
and there is no right or wrong answer. This is
all fun and games. It's funny because one symbol came up immediately, and then I was thinking of something else, but I was actually quite relaxed during that exercise, and I don't know, the symbol that kept coming to me was a triangle. So.
Well, you know what, Scott's getting too good for this. It was a triangle. Very good. I hope the listeners found that to be exciting.
I'm very excited.
Yes. Don't let your head be too big. We want you to fit through the door when you come back to work.
Thanks, Jane. Listen, you have to have these little victories. They're important in life. They're all good. That was fun.
Yeah, it opens everybody up. It just opens everybody up in understanding, you know what? Life does not have to be hard. Life is meant to be simple, natural, go with the flow. And when we do these games, it helps to put us in that mode and help us to understand that.
Well, that was fun. That was a fun game. Did you want me to read next week's affirmation?
Yeah, that would be great. Good stuff.
I really like this affirmation. I like all the affirmations. The purpose of life is to discover your gift. The meaning of life is to give your gift away. David Viscott, is that right?
Yes. Yep, poetry in motion.
It is.
And we have already a couple of questions submitted that we will use next week that's in regards to that affirmation. Isn't that right, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to continue sending your questions. As I said, I'm very impressed by the depth and the thought that has been going into the people's contributions. It's just actually been wonderful.
No, we're truly grateful for everybody applying their energy into the show and helping us to make this to be the wonderful experience that we're having.
Well, I know that I'm greatly enjoying it, and I know from the feedback of people that I see a number of times, people come up to us and specifically to me, and I know to you too, to say, well, you know, I listened last week and I got so much out of it, and that's just a testament to the amount of work and preparation that you've put into the show and bringing your experience and talents forward, Jane. And I just love to be part of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To all of our listeners, for those listening over live streaming audio over the internet, or for those that have dialed in tonight, as I said earlier, please contribute your questions and comments. We'll be back again, same time, 10 p.m. Thursday. That will be Thursday, June 12th. And I hope you all join us again at that time. When we finish the broadcast tonight, if you're on the internet and refresh that page, it'll take you to, you'll see a big little box there that'll say next week's broadcast, and you can click on that box and save it to this bookmark it or save it to your favorites for next week.
Mm-hmm.
So for Jane Vandress and Scott Darnold, thank you very much for listening to Stop and Live on Massage Therapy Radio. Good night, Jane.
Good night, Scott, and thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Exactly.
Good night.
Good night.